welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I know it has been only about a week and some change since D23, but it still feels like it was 4 months ago. The passing of time is too much for my tiny pea-sized brain to handle because D23 feels so long ago. I'm like, I need more theme park news. We just got theme park news! And at the time of recording this, we still don't even know where Monsters is going, where Monstropolis will be going at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So I clearly am just, maybe I'm not sleeping enough. Maybe I have too much caffeine in my body, which does happen. Also, not going to get into it. A doctor recently prescribed me more caffeine. Watch out, because this intro might hit a little harder in the coming weeks. But anyway, I'm adjusting back to life. Clearly not great from D23. My mom stayed with me, as I'm sure you've all heard about by now. And I cleaned off my entire desk. And as you can imagine, I am a tchotchke person. My desk is filled with objects and toys. I have this mug from the 1964 New York World's Fair. I have photos of my baby. I have weird pens. I'm looking at like a Stella Lou bouncy pen. You know the Disney pens where like there's a little stuff thing on top and it goes boing, 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 boing. I have one of those. I have so many little tchotchkes. And my mom was staying in my office while she was here. And so I cleaned off the entire desk. And now I'm working from a clean desk. And I am ashamed to admit I think I like it. I think I like it. There's nothing on the desk. I brought in flowers that I usually have in the kitchen because, again, there's no room usually on the desk. And now I just have like my to-do list and a coffee and my flowers, and it's kind of nice. It's not distracting. Who am I? I don't like what I'm becoming. I like access to things. I mean, they are like, literally my items are just barely out of reach. They're just not on the desk, but it's just, wow. I'm cosplaying as a clean, organized person, and it just feels strange. Otherwise, life has been good. My friend Julio is in town, so we went to go see Olivia Rodrigo together. We went to this absolutely bonkers mansion in Beverly Hills filled with like a priceless art collection. I should have a video online by the time you hear this because I don't even know what to say about it. It was the most, I was like nauseous by the end of it because I'd seen so many priceless works of art that it was just like eating truffles for 7 days straight. Like it blew my mind. What else did I do? I went to a birthday party with my friend Jeffrey, who's probably listening. Hi, Jeffrey. Also, Julia listens. Hi, Julia. I went to a birthday party and it was in Hollywood and it was like an 80s themed party. Some of it was singing along, some of it was DJ. And I'll tell you, I usually don't like going to sing along stuff. That is an understatement. I refuse to go to sing along stuff. But Jeffrey brought me and I knew that the person whose birthday it was, they are a professional actor and singer. And I, forgot that all of their friends would be professional singers. Like we're talking people who were in big roles on Broadway, that type of stuff. And it was... people singing were so talented. It was so much fun. We had a great time. And I had this, I've never had this before, an Earl Grey Old Fashioned. Delicious. Wouldn't have expected it. Absolutely delicious. But it was a wonderful weekend. And this week, we're going to have a great week because we are talking about a very, very cool new themed experience that Royal Caribbean has very recently introduced. I'm going to tell you all about it in a second. We don't even have to get into it. But anyway, I'm very excited about this episode. I'm very excited about this restaurant experience that they debuted. I'm having a good time. I'm adjusting back to regular life. I slept a normal amount of hours last night. I'm feeling good. I hope you're having a nice week. I hope you too aren't kept up too late at night worrying about Monsters, Inc. land. And with that, stay tuned for the episode. This one's really fun. I'm like really obsessed with this restaurant concept. I think it's so cool and I hope we get more stuff like this in the future. Stick around for that. We will talk soon right after these words from our sponsors. Okay, bye for now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you listened to Very Amusing, if you've listened to basically any episode of this podcast, you know we are big cruise fans over here. And there is a new offering with a company that I don't think we've ever discussed before on the podcast that theme park fans and Very Amusing listeners simply need to know about. When I first got an email months and months ago that Royal Caribbean was putting a train on a cruise ship, let's just say my curiosity was piqued. Other emails were not getting a response that day. And what they ended up building and launching far exceeded my wildest imagining. It's called the Royal Railway, and it's above Royal Caribbean's new Utopia of the Seas. It's a big old cruise ship that's brand new. First sailings were in July of this year. So if you haven't heard about this experience yet, I am so glad to be telling you every detail straight from the source. This week on the podcast, we've got Jay Schneider, Royal Caribbean's Chief Product Innovation Officer, telling us all about this, well, innovative new experience. He did his job because it's not a restaurant. It's kind of like themed dining with live show elements and a little bit of theme park magic, aka exactly what we all look for when we travel, which is why I had to tell you about this cruise ship train. It's a train on a cruise ship. It's a train on a cruise ship. They call it immersive multi-course dining. I call it an impressive and unique endeavor that should be on all of your radars. Or in other words, a train. I've said it so many times, I got confused. A train on a cruise ship. You're going to fly or drive somewhere. You're going to go on a cruise ship and then you're going to go on a train. I love it. Now, Utopia of the Seas itself is bonkersville. Google it. Look at some videos. Look at those water slides. Look at all the stuff. It is pretty bananas. And as you'll hear later in this interview, there are some other fun highlights to it. But while I missed the inaugural sailing, I was in New York and couldn't make it. If you are interested in the ship, but specifically Royal Railway Utopia Station, which is what we are talking about today, check out some YouTube videos about this. I watched a few, and honestly, seeing the visuals alongside what you're about to learn really drives this one home. I recommend listening to the podcast and then look it up. And with all the knowledge you have to kind of take in what the experience is visually, it's wild. Again, it's a train on a cruise ship. It's also very exclusive. Seating is very limited. There is a surcharge for $120 per adult and $50 per child. But as you're about to hear, it is worth it. And it is so in demand. From moonshine and wild, wild west hijinks and everything in between, here's what you need to know about Royal Railway Utopia Station and why I personally cannot wait to get on board. To get on board either, because it's a train on a cruise ship. Jay, welcome to Very Amusing.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we have a lot I want to talk about. But first of all, we have to talk about your job, because you have maybe the coolest job title I've ever heard of. Would you mind telling our listeners what it is?
So I'm the Senior Vice President and Chief Product Innovation Officer for Royal Caribbean. Really, people always ask me what I do really for a living. And I help design vacations for a living. That's really kind of ultimately when you deconstruct it, I do.
That's incredible. Your job is just basically to dream up things that people want to spend their free time doing.
Yeah. Ships, islands, you name it, anything that, is new product, new concepts, evolutions of what we do. We talk a lot about tradition, evolution, and revolution in our brand. Things that our customers expect that we want to evolve, and then new crazy revolutionary ideas that help them make memories for vacations to come.
Yeah, speaking of those, I gotta jump right into it, because this Royal Railway Utopia Station experience, restaurant, immersive dining, I don't even know what words you want to use to describe it, but this is unlike anything I've really seen a cruise ship do before. And I started to look up footage of it because it just debuted, and it went even more beyond than I anticipated when I was first introduced to the concept. For anyone who hasn't really seen what this is yet and is just listening to this episode, can you walk them through what a traditional meal will be for if you show up at the restaurant, what you can expect?
At this venue?
Yes.
Yeah. So I like to caution people it's not a restaurant. And I say that because it's really unlike something you've seen or anything you've seen before. It is really meant to be an immersive experience that happens to serve food. And so it's a 90-minute total experience. And so as you're entering close to the train station, and I say that with quotes, we've taken over the entire facade of that part of the ship and turned it into Utopia Station, which is the name of the station. There's a classic ticker board, and so you can see your name, table, where you're going show up as if you were in a European train station, and the next departure time after. There are multiple departure times, an early departure and a later departure. You enter into the train platform, and there's two train cars going in different directions. You're then able to wait because you can't, again, it's not a restaurant, so you can't just go sit down at your table at your 6 o'clock reservation. And so you can mill around the platform, get a welcome cocktail at the bar, the platform bar. There are conductors and train folk who are milling about to help kind of entertain you while you wait. And then there's an all aboard moment where the conductor calls all aboard and everybody boards the train. And you go through kind of a story. And part of that is important for us because once the train leaves, you're inside the car, the fire door closes, and nobody else can board the train because it's left the ship. It left the station. And that was important to us. Like, we couldn't have you, I'm 15 minutes late to my reservation, just let me slip in, right? No, the train's gone. I'm sorry. You should have showed up on time. Which is, for a brand like ours who focuses on service, is a hard thing for us to overcome.
Oh, yeah.
But you sit and watch the show with the show systems, you can understand why it's complicated. This is a 24-person, it's a row of four and a row of two dining car built to spec. And so the walkway is not very deep. And then you're off on a journey. You leave Utopia Station, destined for Grand Junction, and you go on a 75-minute visual journey and storytelling journey where bandits interact with you, where a marshal is there, where people don't have to lean into the point, they have to participate, but they're brought into the storytelling while we go through three acts to get you to Grand Junction. There's a kind of warm-up scene, got to get your tickets. The bandits start showing up because there's three bandits in the Yates brothers. The second scene takes you through the kind of the meal portion of it. And the third, a big explosion scene. Because we've taken the entire train car and we've choreographed the actors, the audio, the visuals, the culinary, every movement has been choreographed. And so it truly is a 75-minute show with every second carefully choreographed through storytelling.
And are we in a different time period on this journey?
Yeah, to build a train that was going to go through the level of different storytelling we wanted, we kind of picked a nondescript train from the 1880s to call it the 1940s. So you have to kind of, you have to suspend disbelief that you're hopping on a train on a cruise ship. And from there, we've tried to really lean into some authenticity in that time period. So as we tell future stories, it can kind of make you believe that you're on, that you're on a train. Like the attention to detail, the steam coming out of the engine while you're waiting on the platform.
There's steam?
Absolutely, because trains have steam. Like, we want you to, there's literally, as you cross the threshold from the station into the platform, we have gone to great lengths, whether it's the waiters, the costumes for the waiters, whether it's the conductor's costumes, the bandits' costumes, the theming in the platform, the theming in the train itself, the plateware that it's meant to be kind of custom for the railway, to the decorative elements inside of it. And then most important was making you feel like you're on a train. And so we went to every seat has a classic butt kicker, which is the technology that you can put in a seat that allows you to basically push the seat forward. That's choreographed with the audio of the train movement. And then the actors just lean into it to make it fun as they fall over a bit as the train moves or the screeching happens. And so those butt kickers help in it. You could argue if it were a classic restaurant, it would get annoying that you're always kind of rumbling around. But again, that brings to life the fact that you're on a train.
No, we're themed dining people. Like, I'm like, tell me everything you can tell me about a butt kicker. It sounds incredible. So you're going to feel like you're really on a train, not just because of the design and the graphics and the experience, but because you're jiggling up and down.
You're jiggling up and down. And even if you stand up, the subwoofers underneath make just kind of give that reverb enough to make between the butt kicker, the subwoofers. There's spatial audio built throughout. So as the bandit's walking over the roof, you can get a sense of they're actually walking. You can hear the audio transition as the buffalo move from screen to screen. I mean, that's the other thing. We worked very hard to make sure that if you think of your view perspective, because you're basically looking at a bunch of rows. So it's four, you know, screens on this, windows on one side, four windows on the other side. And so to help suspend that disbelief, as you see the buffalo move from window to window seamlessly. The cowboy moves seamlessly. As you roll through town, you can pick any tree, any building, any rock, and literally visually follow it all the way through, because we didn't want somebody to look at the visual immersion and be like, oh, this is fake. We didn't want somebody to look at the train itself once they sat down and be like, this doesn't feel like I'm on a train. And everybody who's gone through that venue is blown away by it. Feels like you're on a train. The rumble, the movement, the timing of the screeches of the train tracks with the movement, like all of it's been choreographed.
I'm so shocked, because you could have very easily just put in the media in the windows and set up the seating to look like a train and been like, da-da-da, we're on a train. And you did not do that. Yeah. You went much further than that.
Yeah, innovation here means really, you know, we make sure that we deliver on what we say we're going to do. That detail makes a big difference.
Oh my God. At any point in the creative process, were you like, wait a second, we just left land to go on a ship where we're going to pretend to be on land? Just kind of had your brain melt inside your skull? Because I think if I was in your position, that's how I'd feel.
I think it's part of it is just bringing people along in that journey. You know, everybody looks at it through some lens of, you know, if we just cut this out, it'd be a lot easier. It'd be easier to do. But the reality is, it is such a unique experience, and it's so different. Again, I go back to research. Our guests want to experience new things and make memories. And, you know, this is one of the unique things that allows them to create a new memory, bond with their family over a meal, and be entertained and experience something they've never seen before.
Back to school is in the air, and if you, like me, no longer go to school and have no need to remember what a Dixon Ticonderoga is, and yet forever you will, it is trapped in your brain. You deserve something new to refresh your life going into this new season, whether or not you'll be spending it inside a classroom. Because Quince offers the type of timeless, high-quality items that last and last from one season to the next. Y'all already know I'm obsessed with my Quince bike shorts. I am literally wearing them right now. But did you know they have shoes, bedding, cookware, wedding bands? The jewelry, not the one that plays at a party. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they had that too. Literally anything you need that you've probably dragged your feet on buying, they have. Priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, which is the magic of Quince. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. So before you buy, well, anything, stop on by Quince to save money on high-quality home and closet essentials. I was browsing their toddler clothes, as one does, and I found that they had this black smocked dress for Pearl that exactly matches one I already own. So I'm about to become a matchy-matchy parent. I didn't think it would be in my future, and yet, here it is. But also, forget that, because while I was shopping for Pearl, I learned they have furniture. Yeah, Quince has furniture. They have a beautiful leather couch. It's beautiful. They have art. They have silverware. Genuinely, I'm not buying anything before checking here first, and you shouldn't either. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Perfect for someone as forgetful as I am. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns on everything and anything you buy from Quince. Quince.com/amusing. Enjoy! If you've traveled overseas, you know one of the most annoying parts of a fantastic trip can be the struggle to stay connected. Hunting down Wi-Fi, changing your phone plan, incurring wild overage charges for what? Using data to map your way around a foreign city? Well, imagine no more of that, because Airalo is here to make that process so much easier. Airalo is the world's first eSIM store that solves the pain of high roaming bills by giving you easy access to eSIM digital SIM cards. Trusted by 10 million users worldwide, it's covered in more than 200 countries and regions, and really offers a perfect digital solution designed to save you time and money no matter where you are traveling. I went to Tokyo last October, and I decided to change my cell phone plan to allow coverage while overseas. It cost extra money, the service wasn't that great, but when I was in one park in particular, my phone's SIM card just stopped working. Just stopped working in a foreign country with no way for me to contact the friend I was staying with. I won't lie to you, it was pretty scary, and Airalo could have solved that problem for me from the start. So, if you're traveling soon and wondering how to stay in touch, look no further. Download the Airalo app and redeem the discount code I'm using for $3 off your first eSIM. Just install Airalo, A-I-R-A-L-O, so you can stay connected wherever you travel, and use my code AMUSING to get $3 off your first eSIM. Happy travels! So, there's a lot they don't warn you about before you become a parent. Like, due to childproofing, you won't be able to open your cabinets with one hand for multiple years of your life. Your friends weren't being difficult. Nap time actually is non-negotiable. And even though their bodies are so small, kids be so tiny, they eat so much. Thankfully, HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, knows just how complicated it can be to keep your entire household fed. And they are here to save you time, money, and energy by delivering fresh ingredients and picky eater approved recipes to your door each and every week. Your spouse who won't eat vegetables, or your kid who just became a steadfast vegan can't be pleased with HelloFresh? Think again! With 50 recipes to choose from each week, protein and veggie swap options, and build-a-plate meals that will prevent all dinner table-related disagreements, HelloFresh is your ticket to feeding your entire household easily, including new 6-portion plans for intentional leftovers. Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful they're thinking of this stuff because I surely don't have the brain capacity to. As you know, I think HelloFresh is spectacular. The pre-portioned ingredients and recipe cards and array of recipes make me feel special. Like I'm a little TV chef whose production team just prepped everything for me. No grocery shopping stress, no, oh my God, it's 5 p.m., what do we do, panic. Nope, HelloFresh has you covered. And even better, for a limited time, kids eat free. Go to HelloFresh.com/AmusingKids to unlock an exclusive offer of one free kids meal per box for 2 months while subscription is active. That's free kids meals or delicious little late night snacks. Let's be real, not everybody has kids, but we all like quesadillas. Just by going to HelloFresh.com/AmusingKids. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I can't wait to tell you about Artifact Uprising. Artifact Uprising! If you've heard of them, you know they're a Colorado-based company that specializes in creating premium quality customizable photo goods for your digital photos. But even if you have or haven't, we need to talk about the greatest thing in the world that they sell. Now, they have so many made-to-order, high-quality photo books, but their baby board book had me screaming from my laptop over how good it is. Their photo books and scrapbook albums and calendars and cards and wedding guest books, they're all made using high quality printing methods for clear, vibrant photos. But so is their exceptional baby board book. So it's basically a 100% customizable book with photos and captions that help your little one learn new words with photos of what they actually see around them on a daily basis. No cartoon bath or doodle of a crib. No. I did photos of her shoes, her chair, her playground and water bottle. It's so smart, it's so cute, and with baby-friendly round corners and thick pages for any tiny destructive toddler fingers, it's the coolest learning item I have ever ordered her, and she's already obsessed. And you can get one too, because Artifact Uprising makes it easy to share your memories, teach your littles, and tell your story. Through the end of the year, Very Amusing listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. That's a good deal. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AMUSING through December 31st. That's artifactuprising.com/AMUSING through December 31st.
We've kind of concepted, I'll call it three different territories. Territory one is long form. So think kind of 75, 90 minutes, lean in experience. And lean in means visual immersion. If you think of those three pillars I mentioned as dials and an equalizer, you know, visual immersion to a dialed up to a 9-10, culinary dialed up to a kind of 8-9. And then actor or entertainment interaction dialed up to a 9-10, where, you know, it's really more of a family experience. And that's our Wild West train trip, which is our first trip out. The second one is that same long form, but more kind of intimate date night, where it's more lean back. You still want the visual immersion. You want the culinary to be dialed up to a 10 plus. But you don't want an actor running through as a bandit in your intimate date night. But that doesn't mean there's no entertainment.
I'm just laughing because I know for this audience, we're like, bring on the bandits.
Yeah, maybe you do. Well, again, generalize.
Yeah. No, definitely for general people. For us, we're like, fill the train with bandits, as many as you can get.
You can have a lot of fun with intimate date night. So think of it, again, it's the first one out that we're working on is the Silk Roots. It's Marco Polo's return home from the East. And so it's China, India, Persia, Turkey, Italy, and the gorgeous visual immersion. And the narration in that case will be more storytelling. You know, think of it as kind of the best of the culinary team, the best of the destination, because you'll be immersed in China while having your amuse-bouche as you pull out of the station. And so that level of immersion doesn't have no entertainment attached to it, but again, dialed back down in that equalizer a bit for more of a lean-back experience. And then the third side of it is short form. So think of short form as wine tasting through Napa, whiskey tasting through the Appalachians, where I can set kind of the mood and the experience and do a kind of short form experience that you've never done with that level of visual immersion, or haunted overlay, or holidays with hot chocolate and, you know, coffee and Bailey's while you're going through a train ride through a snowy, you know, snow-capped mountain. And so that sort of long form and short form gives us a real great storytelling canvas to keep iterating on.
Oh my God, the possibilities seem so endless, even beyond just something that, even if you like reskinned or reimagined a regular restaurant could be. Like the possibilities are so vast for so many different types of experiences too.
Yeah, and it's a train going to a place. So it gives you, the overlay is great culinary, great entertainment, great visuals, all on this mixed reality train platform that frankly you'd go anywhere. Now I will say, and it goes back to kind of the passion around the experience, is even on the intimate date night, you're still going to get a butt kicker because you need to feel like you're on a train. Date night is not just sterile room. It's still going to be a rumbly, rolly train, but without, you know, a bandit trying to steal the royal bling.
Right. And I think I already know the answer to this question, but how has this been received by guests?
From our perspective, it's been a home run. The team on board has been doing a fabulous job. The product team that helped invent this is doing a fabulous job. And it really has come together. Like their time, once they hit their timing and our kind of test runs, you're kind of blown away by how well it all came together. And again, there's some great YouTube videos of people and their emotional reaction, because we've orchestrated it very carefully. So when you're standing the platform, and again, this is part of the attention to detail, the blinds are drawn. And the reason we did that is when you get in, the blinds have to be drawn because I need to keep that disbelief that you're on a train. And so as you come in, you sit down, kind of the actor, the conductor's taking your tickets, the first interaction of the bandit. Bandit, you know, runs away when he hears the marshals there. And that begins the journey. And there's this moment where, you know, you're hearing the ambient train noise, if you would, at a train station because you haven't left yet. And then the buck kickers kick in and the train noise moves and the windows slowly, the blinds slowly come up as the train's moving out of the tunnel. And the actor does such an amazing job of falling, like jerking forward right as it all happens, that you're immediately drawn into the moment. Is a little bit of a creative head fake because you're looking at him falling while you're moving. And it's just also well orchestrated. And some of the early YouTube video responses have just been like blowing my mind of how well people lean into the believability of it.
I saw some of the videos, and the thing, one of the things I was most surprised by beyond the experience was just the level of detail for the entire experience from start to finish, which a lot of people don't cross the finish line as well as you did, where even there was that little telegraph wire that people got in advance telling them to be on time that was completely themed. I just feel like that really ups the ante of an experience like this to be something really special and something I think only you guys are providing right now.
Yeah, there's four or five things to me that the team and we took kind of over and above. One is that, so you get a ticket in your room. It's a perforated ticket. You've got to bring it. It's got your info on it. It has a bunch of jokes on it. It really is meant to just kind of have fun with the Royal Railway as a mythical railway we've invented. We even took our CEO's name and made him president of the railway, you know, just to have some fun with it. So that's kind of one. Number two is, and yes, you get a telegram as part of that kind of to announce your family and everything. Number two is there's some fun elements that people, not everybody notices. So as you walk into the platform to the right, one of the things that our food and beverage staff really needed was a house phone, because in case you had to call somebody who was running late or something. And I refuse to put anything modern inside of that venue once you cross the threshold. And so to solve kind of the need, the team built one of those old phones that you take the handle off, put next to your ear, and you have a megaphone. And you had a rotary dial on it. Now rotary dial probably is, you know, more like 1940s, 50s,
but, yeah, but also we're on a train on a cruise ship. We're almost there,
but it's a working phone. You hear through here, you talk through here, and you have a rotary dial. Now I've got a, you know, obviously a slew of younger people on the team. None of them have ever used a rotary dial phone. So I had to know how to do it. But the reality is we built a phone because we had a need and we weren't willing to walk away from our theming and still pull it off. There's a, inside the train, there's a little box that, you know, it's part of the gig, or gag in this case, is like meant to be able to connect you with the chief engineer. And so the actor pushes a button, does that same phone, and it's like a wah, 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 wah. And he understands it, but nobody else does. And again, just that level of detail. And then some of the fun detail that came out, honestly, again, things people don't see. There's a, you know, a little mouse hole built into the wall of the platform to make it, you know, feel interesting. Some of the future places that we want to go creatively are some of the travel posters. We've looked at, you know, using AI, if you opt into it, to turn your face into one of the bandits. That isn't quite there yet, but I think that's something we're taking. And then just a lot of, you know, through the storytelling, things came out as we kind of meandered. There's a lot of what I call dad jokes built into it. And not everybody gets them all, right? And that's okay. And you're, you know, if you think of an amazing experience, you don't experience 100% of it. You experience 70 to 80% of it. And everybody experiences a different 70 to 80%. And so we do one of the gigs that we do is kind of midway through the trip. The conductor typically comes out and says, you know, okay, I've got some telegrams. One of the telegrams I have is, you know, I it's missing kind of the last name. So, and we do a foot fungus, like, hey, your foot fungus cream will be at the next stop. And, you know, Celia, who's Celia? Is she, oh, here's your foot fungus cream. Again, it's just fun ways to bring the audience in. That's a lean in without making them have to overly participate. There's a, you know, a gag built in after you've ordered your food, which is one of my favorite dad jokes that not everybody gets, but, is, you know, after the food's been ordered, the chief engineer Jeremiah comes on and says, you know, hey, sorry, we forgot to load the beef because the train left the station. So you only get what's on, you know, what's on the, and then you see the screens, like we go past a cow pasture and the train slows down a bit and you hear a bunch of mooing with Jeremiah. And he comes back on and says, no, sorry, everybody. Yep. piece back on the menu. We're all good because you're rolling through the West. And it's just that level of fun detail. Again, not everybody hears it because there's, you know, great music, rumbling noise of the train, but that kind of intersperses throughout the whole creative narrative. And it's just super fun.
Oh my God. This whole thing is blowing my mind. With the assumed success of this, where do you see experiences like this for Royal Caribbean going next? Like, what else do you have in mind that you could really turn into? I believe the word you said was it eatertainment?
Entertainment, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? Because the sky's the limit. Going from hibachi to, like, you're on in a train on a cruise ship, going from there, there's so many other things you could do now that something like this has been fully realized.
Yeah, I think, again, on our Icon class ships, we have our Empire Supper Club, or our Supper Club concept that goes from Empire State to, we're kind of, as we build more, we're moving around the world. So I think Lincoln Park Supper Club's next, Hollywood Land next. And those are all a really fun twist of intimate fine dining with gorgeous entertainment, not in a storytelling narrative, but in a kind of a different way. And that's been, again, wildly successful. With this one, this was taking immersion to the new level for us. And again, in a way that blends great culinary and great entertainment. I this concept, you know, we're on one ship so far. The reason we call it Utopia Station is we have a vision to put it on future ships, love future stations. Kind of the creative conceit is there's a railway. Its stations are at ships, and then it can take you on infinite stories. And so we will put in future ships, we'll tell more stories. So I think there's a lot of fun runway there. And then, you know, as we dream up new land and ship-based things that we go build, we're excited about more entertainment because it resonates with our guests so well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm blown away that this exists. I can't believe there's a world where you can get on a ship and then feel like you're in a train on a ship. It doesn't make sense. And yet you made it happen. And that's pretty incredible.
It's really fun. And it's really fun.
Oh my God. Knowing that you have this wild job title and this purview over so many different things, is there anything else that you've worked on that you're maybe as proud of as you are with this? Like anything that you really spent years on and like fully realized it and it's just been so well received by Royal Caribbean's audiences?
I mean, how much time do you have? Listen, like we're, again, I said at the beginning of the show, right? We have a flywheel right now because we really bring our guests into our creative process. Will they invent the next thing for you? No, but their feedback really does help shape what we go build. We put the world's first water park on Icon of the Seas. We built Empire Supper Club. We created a concept called the Mason Jar, which for an American audience isn't hard. It's great band, great bourbon, and great food all blended into one. We listen to our guests on Perfect Day at Coco Cay, which is our curated destination in the Caribbean, and guests said they wanted an adult space. So we built a mind-blowing party adult space that is just absolutely gorgeous and fun. On Utopia, we upped our game at our tiki bar. And so we have a brand new tiki bar called the Pesky Parrot that has a drunk parrot that tells inappropriate jokes while you have great cocktails. Yeah, we have a parrot named Brian.
Of course his name's Brian. Brian. Right.
Parrot needed a name. And what's the silliest American name you can give him? It was Mike, Joe, or Brian, right? Sorry, Mike.
It's perfect. Is it an animatronic or is it visual media?
As far as you know, it's a parrot that tells dirty jokes. I mean, that's part of it. You look at it, and the best part about it is people look at it and they don't know. And then it tells a dirty joke and they get slightly offended while having a cocktail. And we wanted a fun parrot that you'd look at and go, did they really put a parrot in there? I mean, it's on a sign that says, don't get too close, I bite. Brian.
Oh my God. This seems like, I mean, from the outside perspective, these seem like ideas that, I don't know, like the vague corporate higher ups would be like, no, you can't do that. And yet these wildly creative, innovative ideas are ending up on your ships.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, and we've got a lot ahead of us, right? So We call it our kind of dream engine, but our dream engine is not done dreaming. There's so much fun to be had while still delivering really great vacations and great service that we're known for, while entertaining people in different ways.
Wow. Is there anything else we haven't discussed either about what you work on or this experience specifically that you would like listeners to know about?
No, listen, I come vacation with us and you'll get to meet Brian the Drunk Parrot or go on the Royal Railway if you venture on Utopia of the Seas, which is a really fun 3-4 night going to Perfect Day at Coco Cay, which is kind of our curated flagship destination.
Yeah, I have to admit, I have not yet been. The last time I told someone in person, they fully dragged me. I know I have to go. It looks amazing. It looks absolutely incredible. But
we're currently building our Royal Beach Club in Paradise Island in Nassau, which will have the world's largest swim-up bar. And so, you know, we keep dreaming and going.
Does the world's largest swim-up bar mean the biggest swimming area, the biggest bar, or a mix of both?
We're achieving the most bar seats in a body of water as kind of the world's smoke bar. But again, you know, whether it's our water park at Perfect Day at Coco Cay, whether it's the first water park at Sea on Icon of the Seas, you know, from that perspective, there's a vacation for everybody with us and new experiences, you know, because we all vacation different. That's one of my favorite things we hear in research is you and I vacation different, everybody vacations different. And so offering kind of a slew of mind-blowing options that give you everything from, we like to say thrill and chill. That's chill is a little different for our guests. Chill is not, you know, quiet book. Chill is really great cocktail, you know, Caribbean music, great views. To thrill, then thrill water park or going on a Royal Railway.
Wow. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I can't believe this exists and that it's done so well and executed so nicely. I have to one day get on it. One day.
One day come join us on Utopia of the Seas.
I would love to. Thank you so much for coming on Very Amusing.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, Armoire is back! Armoire is back as a sponsor of the podcast. I know a few of you signed up and are enjoying it, so I am thrilled to discuss them once more because what a glorious eco-friendly solution to try new clothes and new styles without wasting your money on stuff you'll never wear again. Y'all know I love goofy clothes. I love weird little clothes. But you know why I can't always wear them? Because my closet is missing key pieces. And for me, that's basics. A black skirt, a little black dress, white jeans, cutoff shorts that are more playground than wearing them on vacation. I own none of it. And with Armoire, I was able to test drive every single thing I needed. They've got the goods from designers like Paige and Lily Pulitzer and Tahari. It helped me realize that, yeah, everything I own goes with a cute little black skirt. The one that I test drove was fantastic, and I desperately need to buy one. Oh, and you can low-key buy them from them, too. That's because Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe. From cutie little trousers, to kid-friendly fits, to full party-ready looks, with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. You take a quick 5-minute style quiz, select items from this fun, personalized closet they build for you, and items show up in as little as 2 days. When you're done, just swap them out and get more new-to-you styles. Also, Armoire is women-founded and women-led, so they understand firsthand why this service is so good. There's no more hemming and hawing at the mall, standing in a dressing room wondering, will I really wear this? Is this worth spending hundreds on? Nah, dude! Armoire is here to basically give you the clueless closet. Just endless options forever and ever and ever and ever. And I know I'm saying a lot about them. I'm saying more than I'm probably supposed to, but I just think they're really great. I just think Armoire is really great. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. $125 off! Just visit armoire.style/amusing. armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Carly. I love the pod. I just listened to the D23 episode and it was incredible. I am calling because my husband and I are going to Walt Disney World for the very first time in mid-November. We are Disneyland regulars and we've been to Tokyo, but this is our first time in the Florida parks. We're doing 4 days in the parks with park hoppers and no party tickets. And my question for you is, what dining reservations would you recommend? We're adults, so we're not super interested in character dining, but we love themed experiences and amazing food. I'm picturing some nice afternoon reservations to beat the heat or places we might park hop on Christmas party nights after we leave Magic Kingdom. We're also probably going to have a resort day on our departure day. So if you have any recommendations for dining reservations at any of the resorts, that would be amazing as well. Thank you so much. Bye.
Oh my gosh, my favorite kind of call. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I would absolutely love to give you dining recommendations on your first Disney World trip. I can't believe you've been to Tokyo and you've been to Disneyland so much you haven't been to Disney World. It is my honor to tell you what you should eat. Now, because this is your first time, a lot of the stuff I'm going to be suggesting is kind of strategic. It's not any like, ooh, under the radar stuff you've never thought of. Like, no, we are not messing this trip up. It is your first one, and we are going to make sure that you have a blast. I'm not even going to preface it. I'll just get into it. Basically, my recommendations are trying to tell a themed restaurant story. I want you to walk away from Disney World being like, wow, this is better than Disneyland, because that's how I feel. And I know a lot of people don't agree with me, and that's fine. I know Disneyland was, Walt walked there. I get it. I am a Disney World girly. I like to go to the big show, and I hope you like it too. Now, you mentioned you have a resort day, like a day when you don't have tickets. You have park hopper tickets. You can bounce between parks. You can kind of have flexibility to your meal plans. And you love themed experiences and amazing food, but not characters. Perfect, perfect instruction. Now, park-wise, the instinct is going to be to steer you right towards one of Hollywood Studios' mega-themed restaurants. They have Sci-Fi Dine-In, where you sit in little cars as though you're in a little fake drive-in theater, and they play stuff on the screen. It's very cute. And 50s Primetime Cafe, which is like old school kitchens where not like in the back when they're like slinging food. It's an old school kitchen. Like, you will look like you're in a little suburban old school kitchen. The waiters are grouchy. They tell you to mind your manners. And like, the whole thing has a vibe from start to finish. But because you care about food, I'm gonna push you towards 50s Primetime. But with a caveat, before you make a reservation, I want you to watch like one or two YouTube videos about it. Just like look it up on Instagram or TikTok and just check out the vibe. Because while this is a layup of a suggestion, like the theming is top notch. If you want themed dining at Disney, this is kind of the place to go. But the food isn't always what I want to be eating on a hot theme park day. And I don't think we talk about this enough when we talk about 50s Primetime. Like, when you're walking around in Florida, you kind of don't always want pot roast and mashed potatoes. So give it a look. Give the menu a look. The fried chicken's great. I'm not going to recommend soup. The chicken noodle soup is great. The last two times I've been there, I just end up ordering off the kids' menu and get like French fries because I just can't handle a belly full of mashed taters. You know what I mean? So just give it a look, check the weather, just approach it from that end and decide between theming and downing three pieces of fried chicken. Otherwise, beyond that, I'm going to demand you choose one location within Epcot's World Showcase to sit down and have a meal. World Showcase is going to be so exciting for you as a Disney fan. It is unlike anything you've seen before. And you can really get a feel for the different pavilions depending on where you dine. I'm probably going to recommend Chefs de France because it does feel like you're in a French bistro. Like, if you squint a little, you're like, did I travel? Did I forget I was on a plane? Or I bring this up every episode, it feels like, but Shikisai is my go-to place in the Japan Pavilion. I really like going there for lunch, just looking out, a beautiful view, fantastic food. And Epcot, especially because you're trying to kind of beat the heat and you care about food, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity to dine at lunchtime at one of these restaurants because you get a break. You're out in the sun, like you're just in a loop, in a big old loop in the sun. So it's a great time to take a load off and enjoy the AC. And speaking of AC, if you want to do Mexican food, San Angel Inn, which is the indoor one, if it's daytime, is great. They have aggressive air conditioning. But if you want to dine at Epcot at night, depending on your park plans, definitely look into La Hacienda de San Angel because it has a view of the water, you can get great Mexican food, and the other ones are great too for dinner, but I feel like that one has, I don't know, that one at dinner time just feels a little special to me. I just have a little like emotional tie to it. I think it's great. And Magic Kingdom, I am inclined to say Skipper Canteen, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say just quick service your way through the park. Don't worry about dining. Because with lightning lanes and like trying to juggle return times and there being so many attractions in a small space at that park, I don't like to schedule any meals when I'm there. I just like to kind of move around. And if it's your first time at Magic Kingdom, if you have lightning lanes, you're already going to be kind of scheduled out. You're going to be bouncing between rides. I just want you to be free. Just eat some corn dog nuggets or a Mickey pretzel. Just make your focus there be on the rides. And in Animal Kingdom, because you love food, I'm going to send you to Tiffin's 100%. If you want a nice meal, that is where to go. But if you are in theme park mode, like I said, you want food that you like, but you're kind of like, what do I do? Setuli Canteen, keep that suggestion in your back pocket. It's a great option for quick service food. I know people have other allegiances in this park, but I love it there. Even if it is chaos to get a seat at times, I am very happy with like a cheeseburger bun and a bowl of food that will keep me going because then maybe I'll have a fun dinner that night. So just Animal Kingdom, I'm not gonna, Tiffin's if you really want a nice meal, if you want a really nice dinner or just like a big break of a lunch. But otherwise that's kind of my, that for what you've laid out, I would emphasize Epcot and definitely Hollywood Studios because those are the most theme of restaurants. Hotel-wise, I am legally obligated to tell you to go to Trader Sam's. You love a theme, you love food. Heading there, you're going to be at Magic Kingdom for part of it, hopping on the monorail. It's kind of a rite of passage. I kind of have to recommend it. But I'm going to recommend you sit outside. Usually sitting inside, it sounds like you go to Disneyland a lot. You know what indoor Trader Sam is like, but I quite like the outdoor here because you kind of get to take in the hotel and all the surroundings. And if you're new to Disney World, I think it's nice to just kind of like be out there at night. Sometimes they have live music. It's easier to get into the outdoors. Getting in is like a whole thing and I don't want to put more stress on you. So just an asterisk, if you can get in there, that is a good option. But the resort dining I am going to steer you directly towards is an Animal Kingdom Lodge. Now, if you want to emphasize more of an experience, I would go to Sanaa. If you are more focused on good dining, I would go to Jiko. But either way will get you in this hotel, which is important to me. Now, Sanaa on your resort day, I think would be excellent. They do have a quick service breakfast, but lunch is really the move here, especially if you're trying to avoid the heat when it's at its peak midday because it's indoors. They are known for their Indian style bread service, which is basically, they have like five different types of bread, like naan and paratha, and it's served with, oh God, everything from, I think it's like a red pepper hummus to tamarind chutney to like a red chili, all sorts of stuff. Wonderful to share, wonderful to enjoy. And you get to do this while taking in a view of animals on their savanna. Basically, if this place existed at a theme park, it would be the hardest reservation to get. And while you're there, regardless of which dining experience you choose, again, Jiko is such like a nice dinner, like a nice upscale option. But regardless, it will get you to this hotel, which is one of, if not the best themed Disney World hotels. I know Art of Animation people will come for me, but I'm sorry. Animal Kingdom Lodge is so beautiful and so special if you have not seen it yet. Don't forget to, regardless of where you dine, walk outside kind of behind the hotel. There's just so much to experience just by walking around that property that I think you will love. Have so much fun on your trip. I hope you enjoy every morsel of food that you eat. There's so many more things I could recommend, but really the main things are like Disney's most themed restaurants at Hollywood Studios. You gotta sit down somewhere at Epcot to get the full experience of it. And if you can make it to Animal Kingdom Lodge, I think that would be really important. Have so much fun! Have so much fun and thank you for calling and asking for my input. I love to give advice. Okay, bye. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening. You can rate, review, and follow Very Music on Apple Podcasts. You can rate and follow us and review. Every single time I record this, I'm like, I think you can review on Spotify. I'm on Spotify all day. Why have I never checked this out? Okay, I'm going right now in real time. I'm looking at someone else's. I don't see where you would review. I don't see where you would review on these. Okay, maybe you can't. I don't know why I started saying you could review when you can't. Anyway, if you can't review, maybe, you know, send it to a friend, maybe give someone a ride, offer to like drive everyone home from dinner, play the podcast, let people know. That's another way to let people know, because that's how people find out, is that they like check it out and they go, oh, people actually like this. The ratings are good. The reviewings are good. That's how we make more amusey friends. So I greatly appreciate it. But also listening, offering to drive your friends is great. It's a nice thing to do. And if you want to play this, feel free. I mean, I would recommend maybe playing something like Dua Lipa, which, by the way, I'm obsessed with that album and no one's talking about it because it's Charlie XCX Brat Summer. But still, I love the Dua Lipa album, and I know at least one of you out there also loves it. Anywho, you can give us a call at 747-CHURROS, send a voice note, or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. And you can grab Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. I'll tell ya, I wore my hat over the weekend. I hung out with my two college roommates and we went to a botanical garden. Wow, I sound older than I feel. But we went and I wore my little Very Amusing hat. It's a good hat. Quality merch, just putting it out there. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel on all of the platforms that you can possibly type that into. And you can join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. If you're like constantly digging in your pockets and finding exactly 99 cents of change and don't quite know what to do with it, subscribe to my Instagram. It costs, wouldn't you guess, 99 cents a month. We're having fun over there. I'm posting extra stuff. I'm posting stuff early. We're doing Q&As. It's just basically like another, I would say about as much as I post on stories, I'm posting on there. I post there a lot. It's just nice to have that little smaller community. We talk more directly. It's nice. And for only 99 cents a month, if you don't like it, then it's not that big of an investment. So it's totally okay. This episode was edited profoundly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. I am still talking about D23 to everyone. I was telling Dad about D23, and he stumped me, and he said, why is it D23 and not D24 for 2024? I'm like, oh, I don't know. So, of course, I looked it up, and I found out what it means. The name D23 refers to D for Disney and 23 for 1923, which is the year Walt Disney founded the company. Wow, I didn't know that. I'm not sure you know this, but last week's recording really sounded great, so I don't know why you thought it might not. You do a great job, honey, and I can't wait until next week. Great reporting. You were so, so busy last week, and you mentioned everything that went on at D23. You are so amazing. I had such a good time, and thank you again. I love you so much. I love you, Pearl. Given, I love you, John Stamos. Bye, sweetie.